Welcome back to the Snack Walls Podcast. I'm Mike Roberts, your host, and we are here to talk about increasing and maintaining diversity in tech beyond the perks. While companies think they can lure people in with unlimited PTO and dogs in the office, we're here to talk about how you keep them. All right, I'm going to throw it over to our special guest today. In a few sentences, can you tell us who you are and what it is that you do?
Hi, I'm Shivangi. I am based out of Toronto. I work at a leading tech firm. It's called LexisNexis. I have been in the tech industry for about 3 years. And on the side, I help small businesses as well as my network.
Nice. And so I've heard of LexisNexis, but other folks might not have heard of it. So what is the sweet spot? What do you guys do?
So it's a legal tech firm. It has workflow efficiency solutions for people practicing law in various areas of practice. And we have a suite of softwares that helps their practice essentially for workflow. Yeah.
Nice. So all the attorneys are all excited. So I'm hearing from a lot of tech leaders, or at least some, that finding diverse talent is a challenge. What are your thoughts?
So this is my first Canadian job, and I actually learned about the role that diversity plays after coming to Canada. Because I'm from India. When I was working in India, I didn't find, everything was on call or videos and collaborating with people from all over the world. But working here, having the first-hand experience, I've experienced that. Yes, there are challenges from a company's perspective because they tend to follow a defined process, especially in a larger organization, which isn't, it's very time consuming to begin with. And they pay a lot of emphasis on finding the right cultural fit as opposed to the right diverse fit, given that there are so many proven theories that diverse teams are good for business in general. But I'm not sure why are there still holes in the pipeline. So I think there's a challenge within the organization that companies are facing, apart from the socioeconomic factors that we are facing right now.
Cool. So what do you think about the push to remove the requirement for CS degrees for many software engineering roles?
I think it's good because I don't think the technologies change, they evolve, right? What you learn in school that has been in syllabus for I don't know how many years, they don't apply to today, they don't apply to present. So I think I know a lot of people who have learned, are self-taught, are working in tech firms and are doing great. They have business background, they have legal background, they're working in tech roles. So it's interesting to see these people getting inspiration from them. And I think looking at them, I don't think that a degree is necessary.
I agreed. So that said, do you think an apprenticeship pattern would work for tech roles?
Oh, yes, for sure. Because what you learn at an organization is really different from what you learn in school. Because what topics that I've learned in school, I have a degree in business. So what I learned in school is really different from what I'm doing right now. Working in even when I worked in my previous company, it was really, really different. Because I was working at a startup before, and they were using a lot of technologies which are recently developed to help their business, which was never taught to me in school. So I think apprenticeship or internship in general, it will help really, especially if you don't have the degree in something. So yeah, I think yes to that.
Absolutely. And in the legal profession, it's pretty common, right? So even after you get your degree, you do, in many cases, spend quite a few years working your way up in the firm, working along with experienced attorneys that have a lot of experience in a practice, right? So I think it could be something that could translate even to, like, you know, the legal profession. And a lot of it is, like, still super old. So you still have lots of, like, everything's filed in paper. And then you have other court systems here, at least here in the US, where, like, everything's electronic. Everything is electronically submitted. Everything is, like, on the e-dockets. It's still paper documents that they're scanning and they're moving around, but they're getting there.
Yeah, even on LexisNexis, we have academic programs for people who are still in school so that they get first-hand experience working at a legal tech firm, working with lawyers, working with students of your kind, and so on. So I think it really helps.
Awesome. So what advice would you share with companies that have done a good job? They have some diverse talent. How do you retain the diverse talent once you get it inside your organization?
So I've been reading about this a lot, and I think, yes, agreed that you're doing a lot to hire diverse roles, but are you really helping or geared towards solving an equity problem, especially within your company, to reach an equality position, right? So I think incentivize more, you know, pay more attention to hiring diverse roles within your company as opposed to hiring just, you know, anybody or your ideal candidate that you've been seeing inside your company, which does not fall into the category. So also like having... So yes, you hire these people, but where do all these people go when you go higher up in the chart in your organizational, you know, chart? There are, you know, not a lot of women in leadership roles and not a lot of diverse talent in leadership roles. So I think combating that problem with your sit down with a recruiter, see what's wrong. If you're a leader and you're in a leadership meeting, look around you. Take a moment and look around you around the table. What do you see? Do you see a lot of people like you, or do you see a lot of diverse talent on that table? If not, go back to your recruiter, see what's wrong. And just retention, really, what are you doing? At LexisNexis, we have a lot of workshops, and we have people coming from not only legal background, from different background within the company, also from US and global companies coming and talking to us about this issue and what did they do, what did they face, how did they grow up, how have they been struggling forever. So this is a kind of inspiration for me, because I've come from India. This was my first job, and I saw this and I'm like, wow, you know, this is a really good company to work at because they're doing XYZ for me. So really having these kind of programs to retain the talent that you hire, or even attract more talents outside. I know that a lot of companies that my friends work at, they get higher referral bonus if you attract, you know, diversity, especially this year, people have been doing a lot to address the fact and make changes within their company. So I think having programs like this will help a lot.
That's awesome. I think a lot more companies need to incentivize their employees to make those referrals, because what often happens at software engineering firms, for those of you out there that are looking for a job, I actually do like a looking for work session, and I record it in about an hour. And during that session, I tell people all the time, it's about your network. It's about networking. That's how you get into this organization. Many of the jobs aren't posted, or they're not posted until really late. And so if you're incentivizing people to go out and recruit new engineers, then I think it makes total sense for you to say, and if you can find someone that's not in your network and they're diverse, or if you have a network of diverse people, that you will somehow incentivize that. And encourage that behavior, I think that's awesome. And I think that could be one way to branch out of the, like, once you have this bro culture, it just is like self-sustaining and you can't change it, right?
Yeah, even to add to that, when I was looking for a role, I had a hard time to find a role in Canada, because the people that I used to talk, not recruiters, the people that I used to network with in my network from Facebook groups or Reddit chains, I used to find out that they used to tell me, you don't have Canadian experience, you need to get Canadian experience. And I was like, what the heck is Canadian experience? I was working in India. I was working at a multinational company dealing with cross-functional teams in different parts of the world. I was dealing with people with UK, US. What do you mean by Canadian experience? So, and recruiters don't tell you this directly. They tell you in a subtle way, what experience do you have in? Which city did you have this experience in? Does it matter? Like, I'm doing the same marketing role that I used to do back home. It's the same kind of software that I use, same kind of processes, Google ads. They don't change. I mean, they change, but you learn them, right? So, breaking this barrier, having people, you know, breaking this tendency to find these kind of people and having people stop talking about them in the first place. Like, what can you do that people stop thinking in a certain way that they think right now? I think that is where all the challenges lie right now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely bias in the system. And yeah. There's definitely bias here in the US and Canada towards India, just in general. There's been a long sort of track record of thinking about India as sort of like an economy that can be in some ways, or the workforce can be in some ways like commoditized, and it's less expensive to use offshore talent. And so their perception is that it's like lesser skilled and experienced, which is not the case. There's like a billion people that live over in like
other parts of
the world. So like, wake up.
Yeah, and all the people hearing this don't think that, you know, if you see something like this happening, speak up, don't settle for less. Really, don't settle for less.
Yeah, absolutely. So I even had someone once, and I got in the big, I shouldn't do this on LinkedIn, but I got in the big battle with him over, he said, if I get a connection request from India, I just block it. Like, I don't accept any requests from India. And I was just like, bro, you could have somebody that like could legitimately help your business, and they just so happen that they live in India. And he's like, I don't do business outside the United States. I'm like, in 2020, you think you don't do business with someone that lives outside the US? I'm like, such a small mind. But it's really hard to get people to just like wake up and realize that a lot of that is their own bias, and they're not thinking outside of the box at all. So that said, I think this has been an amazing conversation so far. And I'd love to find out if you know anybody like yourself that you'd like to acknowledge as a leader and think they might be a good guest on a podcast like this.
I was excited about this question because I recently had a chance to network with this amazing personality on LinkedIn. Her name is Camille Dundas. She is a diversity, equity, and inclusion consultant, keynote speaker on diversity and inclusion, and co-founder of BuyBlacks.com. She's currently working at a leading software company as well. I think she'll be great to have this conversation with.
Nice. She sounds like a superstar, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. But I'm going to try. So she's on the radar. I'm going to try it and see if we can get her on. Where can we find out more information about your company?
LexisNexis.com, LexisNexis.ca. Also, we have social media channels. Find us on LinkedIn. Find me on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter as well. My name is Shivangi Vyas, V-Y-A-S. And yeah.
Awesome. So... last question, most important, what have you been snacking on lately? What's your favorite snack?
Rice crackers. The rice crackers. I love them. They're my favorite.
So just like plain, or do you like a specific flavor? Like
I've been trying different flavors. Sea salt is my favorite till now, but then I'm waiting to try on other flavors too. I'm just binge eating, sitting at home.
Yeah. But the rice crackers is one that you can pretty much eat the half of the whole bag and it's still like, I don't know, like 300 calories.
I've been eating full bags. No, I'm kidding.
But it's still like very little, like there's not much substance to it. So it's good. It's good one to just like peel through and not have to worry about feeling guilty. Yeah. Awesome. Sure. So we have a couple of minutes left. We could do one of a couple of things. We could either end early, or you could ask me a question, or you could talk about something else that you're working on. So what would you like to do?
I would like to ask you a question. Okay. I heard a lot of your podcast episodes, and what is a common answer or a common topic that you hear when you talk about challenges that companies are facing?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of companies are saying that they think it's hard to find diverse talent, that there are, in my opinion, so I'll share what I think. I think that there is a difficult challenge ahead for a lot of companies to diversify, because many of them are unwilling to give up on their bad habits and they want to kind of maintain the status quo, but they want to be able to like snap their fingers or find some like recruiting agency that has all Black women and Latinx clients, and they'll just deliver them a pipeline of talent. And it's like, there are no quick fixes to this. This is going to require a lot of work, and this is going to require a lot of time, and it's going to require an investment. But I think it's a great place to invest, and I think it will pay huge dividends to those organizations that don't just provide lip service, but actually do go out into the community and try and develop new ways of bringing people into the organization that reflects the diversity of their customers. because if you don't have diverse staff, you're not going to be able to meet and address the needs of your diverse customers. So
that's great.
Thing on that. What else? Any other questions?
No, that's it.
Awesome. So thanks again, Shivangi, for coming on the program. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
The San Diego Code School is a proud sponsor of the Snackwalls podcast. The San Diego Code School is leading companies to tech equity. The tech-enabled apprenticeship program is a venture whose heart is to do a lot of social good and do good work. You can help San Diego Code School secure funding for change by hiring developers, bringing a team in to relieve your backlog, or becoming a program sponsor. You can visit us on the web for more information at http://sdcs.io.